Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, to present the President, the Governor, Milton Schaap. Governor Schaap.
Mr. President, welcome to Pennsylvania and Valley Forge. A few moments before you landed, I said to this great throng that as we commence our third century, the fog is lifting. I might say that now that you are here, the sun is trying to break through. It is entirely appropriate that we begin this solemn day of celebration of our third century here at Valley Forge. It is true, of course, that freedom was proclaimed on this day 200 years ago at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. But it was won, that precious freedom was won, by the men who endured the incredible hardships of Valley Forge and shed their blood on the battlefields of the Revolution. The brave men who suffered here and gave their lives during the War of Independence brought us the greatest gift possible for man, the gift of freedom. Today, as we celebrate our freedom and enjoy its rewards, let us also rededicate ourselves to the task of making our governmental system work. For the past 200 years, it has worked. And the presence here on this platform today of so many people of such diverse backgrounds is living testimony to the strength of our system. Present on this platform is a Republican president of the United States who is a Protestant. He is being introduced by a Democratic governor whose heritage is Jewish, whose predecessors came from Eastern Europe. And the presiding officer of this ceremony is a Democratic lieutenant governor whose heritage is German, Italian, and Catholic. And all of us are first and foremost Americans. I might stand corrected, but I believe that no other nation in the world today could produce such a combination. And that is why we are such a great nation. We are great also because we are free and because we have provided the conditions under which it was possible for men like Gerald Ford, Milton Schaap, and Ernest Cline to strive and to achieve positions of leadership and responsibility without special privilege or advantage. And we are also a great nation because on this, our 200th birthday, we will be looking ahead to the future, seeking and finding solutions to the problems which face us, even as we commemorate the past. Nearly 2 years ago in Philadelphia, at the bicentennial of the First Continental Congress, I asked the then new President of the United States to return to Pennsylvania on July 4th of 1976, and instantly, without hesitation, he said he would. And he is here with us today at Valley Forge and will shortly travel to Philadelphia and participate in the solemn services at Independence Hall. He took over the reins of the presidency after a period of time which he himself referred to as our long national nightmare. It was not an easy transition. But while he and I often differ in our opinions, I can and do say this. Gerald Ford has, in the short space of 2 years, restored a sense of trust and decency to the White House and to the nation. For this, we and all Americans are grateful, and history will bear testimony to that achievement. And so is the first national act on this 200th birthday of our nation. It is a great honor for me to welcome and introduce to you the President of the United States, Gerald Ford.
Governor Schaap, Senator Scott, Senator Schweiker, Governor Ray, Congressman Scholes, Lieutenant Governor Klein, Secretary Kleppinger, Administrator Warner, Reverend Clergy, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Governor Schaap, I'm deeply grateful for your very kind and generous remarks. The sun always shines in Pennsylvania. But they came here in the snows of winter over a trail marked with the blood of their rag-bound feet. The iron forge that gave this place its name had been destroyed by the British general when General Washington and his ragged Continental Army encamped here, exhausted, outnumbered, and short of everything except faith. We gather here today, the 200th anniversary of our independence, to commemorate their sacrifices even before we celebrate the glorious Declaration. Americans will remember the name of Valley Forge as long as the spirit of sacrifice lives within their hearts. Here, the vein of iron in our national character was forged. In the 18th century, the colonial American was far more free and far more prosperous than his European cousin. Englishmen regarded us with some envy as appropriate subjects to share their grinding tax burdens. After Concord Bridge and Breed's Hill, the British generals were impressed with our marksmanship and fighting spirit, but they still dismissed Washington's militiamen as a rabble of arms. Many years later, when he was 91, a veteran of Concord was interviewed and asked why he took up his rifle against his king. Did he feel intolerably oppressed? Nope. Never paid a penny for one of them stamps. Never drank any tea. Never heard of Locke. Only read the Bible and the almanac. Well then, what did all the fighting mean? Young man, the aging revolutionary said very firmly, what we meant in going for those redcoats was this. We had always governed ourselves, and we always meant to. They didn't mean that we should. Without Jefferson's eloquence, those are the words of the American people's Declaration of Independence. That was the straight talk that brought some 11,000 ordinary Americans, farmers, workers, tradesmen, and shopkeepers into this valley of sacrifice in the bitter winter of 1777. Uncounted hundreds were never to leave. They did not die amid the banners and the fearful sounds of battle. They weakened slowly and quietly succumbed to cold, sickness, and starvation. Yet their courage and suffering, those who survived as well as those who fell, were no less meaningful than the sacrifices of those who manned the battlements of Boston and scaled the parapets of Yorktown. In the battle against despair, Washington and his men kept freedom's lonely vigil. The leader and the led drew strength and hope from one another. Around the winter campfires that dotted these fields, the flame of liberty was somehow kept burning. Something happened at Valley Forge. That ragged, starving army here emerged and changed a way that can be sensed, but never fully described. They suffered, they trained, they toughened, they buried their dead, and they stayed. They stuck it out. When spring melted the snows and green returned to this beautiful countryside, a proud and disciplined fighting force marched out of this valley to victory. Into the pages of history, unaware of the greatness they had done and oblivious of our gratitude. As Abraham Lincoln noted long afterwards at another sacred site in Pennsylvania, nothing we can say here today can further consecrate or hallow this ground, but we can rededicate ourselves to the spirit of sacrifice shown at Valley Forge, Gettysburg, the Argonne Forest, Anzio Beach, and Iwo Jima. Not all sacrifices are made in war. There are also sacrifices of peace. The sturdy wagon trains that have returned here, the wonderful people who drove them, and those along the way who rededicated themselves to the great principles of the Declaration of Independence, offer heartwarming proof that our American adventure has just begun. our bicentennial is the happy birthday of all 50 states, a commonwealth, and self-governing territories. It is not just a celebration for the original 13 colonies. Americans are one people, and we can still hear them saying, "We have always governed ourselves, and we always mean to." The earliest English settlers carried the Bible and Blackstone's commentary across the Atlantic among their few precious possessions and established their own self-governments on a strange and hostile coast. American families in prairie schooners like these took with them on the overland trails the principles of equality and the God-given rights of the Declaration of Independence. Their restless search for a better life was begun in the spirit of adventure. But it was the spirit of sacrifice that sustained them. They suffered cruel winters, savage attacks, blazing deserts, and bloody feet. Many were buried beside the trail. But many stuck it out, dug in, and built permanent settlements, where women stood the same sentry duty as the men. In the West, the Declaration's promise of legal and political equality for women was first broadened. The American pioneers knew that in their new wilderness homes, they could not be colonials ruled by a distant government. They had assurance that in due course, they could govern themselves as full citizens of equal states. This political guarantee made all the risks and all the sacrifices worthwhile. Their children and future generations would have all the rights of Washington, Jackson, and Lincoln. So do we, and more so. As we continue our American adventure, the patriots of Valley Forge and the pioneers of the American frontier, indeed all our heroes and heroines of war and peace, send us this single urgent message. Though prosperity is a good thing, though compassionate charity is a good thing, though institutional reform is a good thing, a nation survives only so long as the spirit of sacrifice and self-discipline is strong within its people. Independence has to be defended as well as declared. Freedom is always worth fighting for, and liberty ultimately belongs to those willing to suffer for it. If we remember this, we can bring health where there is disease, peace where there is strife, progress where there is poverty and want. And when our tricentennial celebration rolls around, 100 years from now, grateful Americans will come to this shrine of quiet valor, this forge of our Republic's iron core. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. President, and before the benediction, may I present some persons who accompanied the President, and some of us think the most famous part of the family, excuse me, Mr. President, representing them, Susan Ford. I mentioned to you yesterday that the American Revolutionary Bicentennial Administration has been most important to us in supporting our programs, and we have with us today the administrator, John Werner. Mr. Werner. I also mention with some delight that the United States government will shortly become the official landholder here at Valley Forge State Park. And the new landlord will be the Secretary of the Interior, Tom Kleppe. I had mentioned that Congressman Schultz would be with the President, but I would like him to stand now so that we know he's here. And now, would you please rise while the benediction is asked by His Excellency Bishop Dominic Ferrara of the Vatican. Bishop?
Mr. President, Mrs. Ford, Mr. Governor, and friends, 200 years ago, a nation was founded for love of God and for love of freedom. This nation, America, now celebrates this great event, its bicentennial. May this nation be blessed in its celebration today. May it prosper for the years to come and grow ever stronger with its pioneer spirit. May this encampment of the bicentennial wagon train pilgrimage to Pennsylvania bring joy and happiness to everybody. May the leaders of this state be blessed and honored for their wisdom in bringing this pilgrimage to the nation. O God, you who gave strength, courage, and constancy to all those who lived through these 200 years and who now belong to our glorious history, to achieve such a big success in all their enterprises, help us so we can imitate their bright example of persevering in all our undertakings. Enable us to instill such an example we have gotten from our pioneers to our children, now at the dawn of a new centennial, so that they will learn how to love and live according to our faith, and may they imitate our love for this great nation. Make us understand that only the love of God, together with the love for our country, will keep us free and in peace, and will give prosperity to the nation. That freedom, prosperity, and peace that we will never be able to achieve without your help. We ask you, O Lord, to enlighten and protect our beloved President and all the governors of this nation, so that through their own precious experience and wisdom, we can continue in the same path of honor and goodness. And may Almighty God bless you, dear President, and this encampment, and all our dear friends, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. I'll do my very best to keep you posted on what's happening. The President wants the opportunity to pay a visit to the bicentennial wagon train pilgrimage. When I looked in line yesterday, we had them as states, and there was Delaware, the first state, and then Pennsylvania, and I saw Michigan and said, how did that get in there? You might imagine how that got in there. The bicentennial wagon train pilgrimage to Pennsylvania has been in reality a community celebration of the bicentennial across the face of the nation. And as the train stopped in towns and hamlets and big cities during its replay of history, people joined the train to make a pilgrimage of rededication and love for America. These rugged pioneers, for they are pioneers, to have once again made this trek in covered wagons under the harshest of circumstances, have been waiting for this end of the trail encampment to meet President Ford, to tell him what America has meant to them, and to bring to him greetings from every state in the Union. Merle Swineford from Laverne, Oklahoma, joined the wagon train because the very idea of the pilgrimage brought a lump to his throat. Merle says every time we pass a community and we see the eyes of the people light up, the children wave their American flags and cheer, I know that I would do it all over again. The pilgrimage gives you a new outlook, not only on life, but on just how great this country and its people are. Retired Army Colonel Nels Tobey is from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Colonel Tobey has been riding on this train since February 9th. It was Colonel Tobey who said, it is so encouraging to wake up every morning and meet new people, see new places, and capture the real spirit of America. There have been marriages on the bicentennial wagon train, just like the pioneers had when they moved west. Fred and Debbie Shivers were married on February 28th in their home state of Oklahoma, and joined the wagon train for their honeymoon. The honeymoon suite was a covered wagon, and they fell in love with the wagon train and stayed. They said it's been the greatest experience in their lives, and they think they've won a big honeymoon prize. But it hasn't been an easy trip. The train coming up from Florida went through two tornadoes on one day. Not one wagon or horse nor wagoneer was hurt. The wagon train crossed three deserts in Wyoming and Nevada and Arizona. All of the problems that the early pioneers had in covering the desert were met by the wagon train, but the train came through. There is a baby on this wagon train, Zachary Bonds, who's just 9 months old. What a wonderful way to get his first glimpse of America. The wagon train has traveled with all of its segments 15,000 miles. The first segment started from Blaine, Washington, June 8, 1975, coming through the International Peace Arch from Canada, and it arrived here in Valley Forge at 1:30 on time yesterday afternoon. We have been told that to see the wagon train coming into sight is an awesome and magnificent sight. This train has been seen by millions of persons at its nightly encampments. The wagon train show that traveled with the train in each segment put on 1,000 performances in the 1 year the train was on the road. At each encampment, there was singing and dancing and campfire talks about America, its people, and its customs. There he is aboard that wagon. Part of what the president is doing is what 22 million people have done all across this nation, signing a pledge of rededication, which enables everyone to make a symbolic pilgrimage to Valley Forge, even if they cannot come back on the train. Some of these pledges are there in the wagon. They have been signed by school children, by Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, people in retirement villages, people on street corners, men and women in supermarkets. The bicentennial wagon train pilgrimage to Pennsylvania was conceived as a salute to the pioneer spirit of America. It is this pioneer spirit that has enabled America to be the longest enduring democracy the world has ever known. Despite wars and depressions and all other ills a nation must face, America has survived. For it is the pioneer spirit, our ability as a nation to meet the challenge of the new frontier, the frontier of space, the frontier of medical research, the frontier of energy, our ability as a nation to meet these new challenges that makes us a vital, vibrant nation. This is the pioneer spirit, and that is what America is all about. President Ford has now signed the Pledge of Rededication. The presidential party will now proceed to a special ceremonial point where, for only the third time, President Ford will sign a bill outside of Washington, D.C. As all of you know, Valley Forge is hallowed ground to this nation. It is here that George Washington endured that terrible winter of 1777-1778. This ground holds the blood and tears of those men who fought for freedom of this nation. And in a minute, we will have the presidential signature that officially transfers this land after 200 years to the formal custody of the United States government. President will now be seated at the desk to the left of the platform as you look on to sign into law H.R. 5621. Then we're going to give Mr. Kleppe the key to the park. Ladies and gentlemen, while this ceremony is taking place, may I announce that there will be a wagon train show at 10, and it is absolutely essential that everyone stay in his or her place until the president's helicopter has left. We will be delighted if you will stay for the show and for the concerts that will be going on all day long. But while the president departs, please restrain the crowds, else someone may be restrained. Thank you for helping us make this a good beginning for the 4th of July.
Not yet.